He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, day and night. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Please, to throw a truth at the devil. Parables, then, have power. They're meant to have power. They're meant to overturn something, not just our thoughts, but our lives, our very lives as well. They're meant to have a transformative effect in our lives. As Jesus would say, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. One of my seminary professors said, always use extreme caution when preaching parables. His point was that oftentimes we get caught up with what is on the surface of the story, and we fail to get at that deeper message. We miss the parable's power to throw truth at the devil. So are you ready to go deep with me today? We'll see how well we do. You just need to know it's been a wacky couple of days for me. And you'll have to let me know afterwards if this sermon makes any sense to you at all. I just thought I'd throw that out to you. First thing to note is we have two parables in our gospel today. They are both agricultural parables. Jesus used agriculture a lot because that was the culture in which he was speaking to most of the time. And second, parables are used to describe the kingdom of God, the reign of God. So you need to pay particular attention to what follows that phrase. The kingdom of God is like what? So in our first parable, the kingdom of God is like a man who is scattering seed, a farmer scattering seed on the ground. He scatters the seed, steps back to see what's going to happen. What's interesting here in this story is that the farmer acknowledges that he doesn't have much control over what happens to the seed itself. Think about that. The kingdom of God doesn't have a whole lot of control over what's actually happening to the seed. Not a lot in this parable. There isn't a lot in this parable to grab, but there is a lot here that the farmer listening to this parable would fill in automatically. Every farmer knows that ultimately he has no control over the growth of that grain. But the farmer also would know that the farmer doesn't just walk away from the seed until harvest time. The farmer does some stuff. He tends the field. He waters it. He weeds it. He feeds it. The farmer's going to be active in the field until it's time for harvest. The next question to ask, though, is what truth is being thrown at the devil in this parable? I think it's pretty simple. That the kingdom of God is going to come. It's going to come like a farmer disrupting the soil, planting seed, and harvesting the crop. God is going to grow his kingdom right there under the devil's nose. He's going to go into the devil's territory, into the devil's land, and he's going to plant that seed. The second parable is equally as short as the first, but it has a lot of depth to it. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. a tiny little seed. And what we see on the surface of the story, we're told that it's a tiny little seed that grows into this huge plant, large enough to shelter and shade the birds of the air. Sounds awesome and comforting, doesn't it? Inviting that the kingdom of God might start out small, but it grows into this big tree, this big bush that welcomes and shelters us. The image might be a nice image, but where is the power in that image? What's being thrown at the devil? What in this story leads us to change? Let's try to hear this story from the perspective of the farmers in that time. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a mustard seed that you plant. Now, we know that a mustard seed has long been used medicinally, used as a spice. Almost every one of us has a jar of mustard in our refrigerator or a spare one in the cupboard. But what you might not realize is that for most farmers of Jesus' time, they would never, never plant the mustard seed intentionally in their field. It was considered a rather pesky weed. It had an invasive quality about it, and it could take over a field. In our culture, we might think of dandelions or crabgrass in our lawn. Or worse yet, think of those blackberry brambles that just seem to grow and grow and grow. Think about what would be for you the biggest nuisance in your garden. And then think about it. Would you plant it intentionally? Now, do you see the irony in this parable as Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being like a tiny mustard seed that grows so large that it can take over a field? It can take hold of your life? Something to think about. That's something to throw at the devil. God's kingdom has the power to take root and spread like a pesky, invasive weed. That's not such good news for the devil, is it? It will then grow so big as to shelter the birds of the air. Now let's stop and think about that image for a minute. We kind of like the idea of taking care of the birds. I know lots of you have lots of bird feeders and bird houses. We like to think about sheltering the birds. But again, look at it from the standpoint of the farmer. Birds are not always a farmer's best friend, are they? They can be a big nuisance, bigger than a pesky weed. I actually saw this firsthand this week. I had driven out to Herb and Loretta Proust's house to pick up Alex, because Alex was going to come help me on a website. And when I got there, Loretta was not in a very happy mood. And it was all because of the birds. You see, what happened was it was a great day for haying, so they had been haying. And as the tractor moved through the field, it disturbed all the seagulls that were there. Well, the seagulls all flew away, and they flew into the nearest garden. Right into Loretta's strawberry patch. And I guess pretty much cleaned out her strawberry patch, which was this close to being harvested. So now are you in the mindset of the farmers? Listening to Jesus say the kingdom of God is like a pesky weed, like a mustard seed, growing up so large it will welcome and shelter those peskier birds of the field and will attract such undesirables? The farmers had to be asking, so what's good about all of this? There's a person who wrote the book, or at least had an essay in the book, The Historical Jesus. His name is John Dominic Crossan. And he reflects on this parable, saying, the point, in other words, It's not that the mustard seed starts out as a proverbial small seed and grows into a shrub of 3 or 4 feet or even higher. It's that it tends to take over where it is not wanted. That it tends to get out of control, and that it tends to attract birds within cultivated areas where they are not particularly desired. And that, Jesus said, was what the kingdom of God was like. A pungent shrub with dangerous takeover properties, something you would want in only small and carefully controlled doses, if at all that you could control it. That's the point Jesus is getting at. The kingdom of God is not something we can control. Jesus' kingdom comes to infiltrate the kingdom of the world and to offer hope. Hope that will entice, poke, and prod us. Hope that doesn't just cheer us up, but hope that makes us feel safe. And hope that moves us into action. There's a movie out recently called The Hunger Games. I haven't actually seen it. I've been kind of not sure whether I want to see this movie or not. But apparently there's a scene in the film that picks up this idea about hope. President Snow, the totalitarian ruler of the futuristic Panem, I guess that's the name of the city, asks his chief games maker, the one who was charged with creating spectacular, entertaining, and barbaric games. He asks them why they must have a winner in those games. The answer the game maker gave was hope. He wants to give the oppressed people of Panem hope that maybe, just maybe, the odds will be in their favor and they will win the Hunger Games and they'll escape their life of servitude. Hope, he explains, is the only thing that is more powerful than fear. But for that very reason, it is as perilous for a dictator as it is useful. For a little hope is effective. But a lot of hope is dangerous. A little hope is effective. A dictator who offers his people a little hope will keep them hoping that their life will change. But a lot of hope can be dangerous when it gets a hold of the people that have it. And therein lies the power of the parable. When the kingdom of God comes and takes root, it's going to overtake its environment. It becomes a place of shelter and safety and a place of enormous hope for the undesirables like us at times to gather. Maybe not so much the undesirables, but for those of us who are hungry for hope. If parables serve as messages not just for us, but as messages of truth thrown at the devil, the message being sent to the forces of evil in the world, the forces that would seek to keep us oppressed and hopeless, is this, that the kingdom of God comes, and it only takes just a little tiny seed to grow up into a powerful, dangerous, hope-giving, transforming power that can help us to live full and free. The kingdom of God encompasses all of God's creatures, all of God's love, all of God's grace, all of God's forgiveness, and all of his hope. Are we not like the birds of the air seeking shelter under and in the loving branches of the kingdom of God? Are we not flocking together to place our hope in something bigger than ourselves? The thing about birds and the trees is that birds don't stay in the tree, do they? They come to a tree and they fly away. They come back and they fly away. And oftentimes, as they fly away, they take with them seeds that they plant elsewhere. At our house, 20 years ago, there was not a tree in the field. And one after another, there's been trees planted all over, and they're growing up. How did they get there if not by a little bird planting a seed here and there? Are you beginning to see the power in this parable? The power being thrown at the devil? The kingdom of God comes and plants itself like a tiny little mustard seed and grows into this large shrub. The birds seeking shelter will flock to it, find hope and life, but will also go forth and spread that hope and that life like seeds of the kingdom. We become agents of the kingdom then, bringing hope to others. Dangerous, life-giving hope being planted in the fields of the world, in the devil's terrain. This hope is powerful. It's hope that strengthens us, feeds us, and frees us. It's the kind of hope that's born out of the love that Christ has demonstrated for us on the cross. Paul wrote about that in his lessons to the Corinthians. That Christ's love compels us not to live for ourselves, but for Him. So that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Finding shelter in the kingdom of God changes us, makes us new, gives us hope, empowers us to live for the kingdom, to go forth planting kingdom seeds. Sometimes I think we look at ourselves here at Emmanuel as a small congregation. And maybe we are. But think of the seeds that get planted every time we leave this place. God sees us as one of His outposts, planted in the rocky Door County soil. And it's tough to grow in this soil sometimes. But here His kingdom is taking shape in this place, right here, right now, with you. Sheltered under the branches of His loving arms. And we gather together each week, we flock together to sing some praises, to catch up with one another, and we leave here, and we plant seeds. We have no idea what kind of seeds we're planting. God is good and awesome, and we are full of hope because of that, the kind of hope that frees us and moves us and empowers us. So I don't know where the rest of this story goes, because God is still writing it, and we're a part of it, and that is awesome. So, amen. Let's stand and sing, Go Light Your World.